There's four pools that students can do where they apply in the fall and they get outcomes before the holiday break. Rolling admissions is actually a first-come, first-served basis, so some students apply in September and can even hear back in 2 weeks. Mm. But traditionally, most do what's called an early action plan, which has a deadline of November 1 to 15, and they hear back before the winter holidays. Or there's a restrictive early action plan, which means you can only do one restrictive early action school, and you hear back before the holidays. Or there's an early decision plan, which again is one early decision school, but it's binding. Mm. So that's the only school process, if they subscribe to, that if you do get in before the holidays, you are expected to attend. That's the spirit of the plan.
Ah, very interesting. So let's talk a little bit about those outcomes. What kind of outcomes are there that the senior can get in this process?
Yeah, what they're getting right now is either an acceptance, which is wonderful, a denial, which can sometimes be crushing, because I do see students, if they're denied in the early pool, they almost start questioning their strength of being an applicant for other schools. So you really have to boost their self-esteem and put the denial in context and help them be a positive applicant for the rest of their schools. They can also receive a deferral, which is a very gray area for most students. They don't know how to process that. It is not a glorified outcome as far as, you know, you don't get accepted, you don't get denied. It's kind of this weird area, but they have to know that colleges don't do deferrals lightly. If they are going to defer you, it's because there's compelling reasons that they can see you fitting in the class, but they just want to compare you with the broader context of students who apply in January. So really, for students in the deferral round, they do have to keep a positive attitude and realize the college is saying, wait a minute, we can't give you an outcome right now, but we will read you again later. And there are strategies they can employ if they want to pursue that.
Sure. How many seniors try to take advantage of these early pools, would you say?
Yeah, I've noticed, especially at my school, we are seeing probably almost two-thirds of the class at least going into an early round. Early decision is not as common because you really have to think about the finances. And have you done your homework to really decide, are you ready to go into a binding agreement? Because that can be scary. But yeah, I think nowadays students are saying, geez, I'd like to get a couple outcomes out of the way before the winter break so that they're not having a winter break full of college essays and worries. And parents are wanting to do holiday travels and they're stuck on a laptop. So I think the early pools are helping them somewhat spread out this process in maybe a healthier way. But they do have to keep in context what outcomes mean, because I don't want their spirits getting crushed before they actually finish the rest of their college applications.
You know, what should students do if they're admitted under the binding early decision plan? What are the steps they have to take?
Yeah, if they're admitted under the early plan, again, the spirit of it, and it has to be signed by the high school counselor also when they want to go through that system, they have to withdraw their other applications. And some students may have started other applications because they wanted to have that backup in case they're not accepted in early decision. But if they get accepted, and even though they have some live applications that are still active out there, they don't have the luxury of seeing that outcome. Mm-hmm. They are supposed to call those schools and withdraw their application. Another thing an early decision student and the family has to do is really look at the financial aid award letter. Because while the spirit of this, again, is hopefully early counseling and coaching so that students understand what the seriousness is of this binding plan is, the only one reason you can break a binding agreement if accepted is if the financial aid award letter doesn't meet your needs. But even with that, you know, I talk with families so much when they even say they want to do ED to say, did you do early net price calculators? Did you talk to financial aid? Are you sure their guesstimates and estimates for you make that school look feasible? Because if you do get accepted and you've done all your pre-work and the outcome of the letter for financial aid still can't make it affordable, that's the one reason you can break that.
What about those seniors who are deferred? You talked about maybe some strategies for them to try to increase their chances of being admitted. Lay those out a little bit.
Sure. With a deferral, again, just to kind of keep it in context for them, they're not denied. And you don't know how many times I have to say, high five. Are you kidding me? You were deferred. That means they're interested in you. They want to read you again. And they really do have to hear that, because I think they sometimes think, oh, yes, they defer everybody. Well, that's not true. There are students denied in that early round. So the deferral students have to really sit and think, how serious are they still in that school? And I tell students all the time, one of the best things to do is to reach out to the admissions office. Imagine how many kids, Brian, get deferred, and they're kind of annoyed. And they're thinking, I don't want to look at you anymore if you don't want to look at me. And they don't do anything. When it comes to the committee looking at that round of kids again, I don't believe they're going to surface because there's been no communication, again, with the college expressing their interest. So if they're really interested, they need to contact the admissions office. If they have a personal admissions counselor they've been working with, that's the best person to use, and tell them of their unwavering interest in the school. Tell them that they want to add extra materials if they think there's any updates they want to do. But the most important thing I tell students is follow the directions. Some schools will actually send them a link and say, yes, send us an extra letter, send us new test scores, send us an art supplement if you're passionate about art. So if those portals are open to students, yes, do those within reason. Mm-hmm. This is not now to overwhelm people with 20 new pieces of information. But there are also schools who say you're deferred. All we want is your mid-year grades. Make sure your college counselor or your high school counselor sends us your fall grades, mm-hmm. and that's it. Don't send us another piece of information because we'll shred it. So it's important that they follow directions. Imagine what an admissions counselor would think if they clearly said, do not send us extras, and then four letters come.
Yeah.
They're going to be thinking, does this kid know how to read? So it's important for them to follow directions.
What else is going on? What other to-dos are there for seniors and parents coming up for the rest of this month and into January?
Sure. Again, I think just keeping positive and making sure that they somewhat think about what is the rest of their to-dos on their list so that they can have holiday fun. It's important for them to map out a plan. But I tell students and families all the time there are several responsibilities they have. Number one, they do have the responsibility of making sure the college has a complete file. I'm amazed at how many times students don't call to check, did you get my ACT? Did you get my SAT? Are all my letters of recommendation there? Their responsibility is to confirm the status of their file. Also, families want to continue talking with financial aid. Most families, with the new launch of the FAFSA in the fall, may have already processed all their financial aid forms, but there may be a big change in income. Someone may have lost their job. There may be medical expenses that happened. So don't sit back passively. Call financial aid and talk with them about any new information that might actually impact how they come up with a family's expected contribution. And I also tell students, again, communicate with your high school counselor. Because while we have a process at our school that we automatically do mid-years for students, there may be forms a student has to ask for that mid-year to be sent to show fall grades. So don't make assumptions. Communicate with your high school so you know the process of them getting fall semester grades out for you. And then finally, if I may share just a final tip, I always tell students, even though this is a stressful process and an outcome may have come out that maybe you are disappointed in, and sometimes, Brian, I hear it even in my high school, the grumblings of maybe someone who did get in somewhere and they're kind of feeling like, how did that kid get in and this kid didn't get in? The reality is decisions are made. Learn how to celebrate for other people and realize that even if you are disappointed, you'll find your right place. So keeping that idea of gratitude, thanking people who supported you, writing thank you notes to teachers who wrote letters of support, thinking about who your support team was and just thanking them through this process. This whole journey should really be about them growing and learning about who they are. And sometimes it gets lost in kind of this feeling of, did all of my hard work pay off? And if you put your self-worth tied into a college outcome, that's where I get worried. Mm-hmm. I want them to know they can grow and thrive in so many places.
One other just a bit of news I wanted to ask you about today, Lisa. This week we've got some information from I believe the Illinois Board of Higher Education. Preliminary enrollment numbers for the state colleges and universities down from a year ago, looking at fall enrollment. University of Illinois a little bit higher, Illinois State a little bit higher. But as you're talking with your juniors, with your seniors, as they're getting ready for the college process, what are you hearing from them on their thoughts about these in-state colleges and universities and kind of the situation they're in right now?
Yeah, great question. I think a lot of families are worried about, can public institutions that often don't have the endowment funds that private schools have actually give them an affordable financial aid package? I do think, again, it's institutional specific and even talent specific, because I have seen some state schools in Illinois offer scholarships and merit aid to families that they were shocked because their assumption was surely there is no money. So I think early conversations with any public state school, again, they all have to have those calculators and they have to dig deep and make sure that they're not missing. Is there an honors program with a separate app or a separate application in a state school that awards talent and certain things that might require extra steps to even be considered? But I do think I do, for my students especially, I hear a vibe of, before it used to always be, of course, state schools are cheaper And now, because we're a small community and people talk about their outcomes, there's a reality that private schools can be affordable because they have those funds to use at their discretion. But it's so individualized. I think early proactive talks with any college should be done first before assumptions are made.